The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, old dogs. This is your host and top dog, Bill Manicero. I hope you're having a blessed holiday and are getting ready for an amazing new year. Today's show is a special rebroadcast of one of our most popular episodes. I'm introducing the show under the banner Best of Old Dogs REI Network Podcast. Well, enjoy.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Well, today's topic is choosing the right investment property. But before we get started, as I often do, I just wanted to touch base with you again. I want to encourage you. You know, it is so easy to get discouraged. I will share that firsthand. A lot of times, you know, there's just a lot of people around, naysayers and others that will say, oh, you know, you're wasting your time. There's a million reasons why they feel we shouldn't be doing what we're doing and investing and doing that extra special step here to try to make things happen. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you guys. I don't know if you have somebody around you. If you don't, you need to get some good people around you, maybe some other fellow investors, maybe a link up on a meetup or some sort of local group, whatever it may be. But it's a good idea to have folks around you that can say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you're getting a lot of offers out there, but nothing's happening, or you know, having trouble getting funded, or whatever your challenges are. I just want to encourage you. I've been there, I've done that, and I know what it's like. It sometimes can be discouraging, but you just gotta keep plowing forward and not let those things slow you down. Sometimes, especially if you're doing this by yourself, it can be a little tough. So I just want to encourage you. Don't give up, okay? All right. Well, just a couple of quick announcements here. I want to, first off, give you a quick update on where we're at. We're looking at properties, and we're doing a whole direct-to-seller campaign, which has been producing some great leads. So I will keep you up to date on that. I mean, when we go under contract, boom, I guess everybody will find out about it quick enough. But we are real excited, and we're still plowing forward with our direct-to-seller strategy right now. Also, too, somebody actually mentioned this to me today, and I thought it was really a good idea, is that, hey, if there are those of you out there that do have leads to off-market properties, I don't know if you know, but we do have a finding fee that a nice generous one, I would say, to those that would lead us to a property that we'd actually purchase. So if you do know of apartments, 100-plus in units, and it's an area that we would define as an emerging or a good, solid, stabilized area, we are interested. So just to let you guys know, if there's anybody out there interested, we would love to be able to chat with you about that. Finally, I'm real interested, too, in those of you that may have listened to the show for maybe a year or longer that have actually, I hear the dog barking in the background. I mean, it's typical for an old dog podcast here. Anyway, If you have a success story you want to share with us, I would love to talk to you, maybe even see if you might want to be on the show. We've already featured a few folks already that have been listening to the show that have had some real neat successes. So I would love to hear from you. Email me at bill@olddogsreinetwork.com and we'll chat, okay? All right. Well, let's jump into our topic here, choosing the right investment property. Now, one of the most difficult decisions we make as investors is determining what to invest in and where to invest. It's critical, especially in the beginning, that you fully understand what you're looking for and where to look for it. Otherwise, you'll find yourself following multiple rabbit trails into all kinds of areas, asset classes, and investment types. I could speak from firsthand experience. I did a lot of this and burned a lot of time early on because I wasn't focused. So, and ultimately, it costs you a lot of time and money. Money isn't the bigger factor, I would say, especially at my age. Time is more important because it's just you don't have a lot of it. So you want to be able to use it wisely. On to the what to invest in part. There are many types of real estate investments, I'm sure you know, single family versus multifamily, fix and flip, wholesaling or buy and hold, short-term types of investments, Airbnb, or you know, longer-term one-year leases, typical buy and hold type properties, deeds, liens, REITs, all kinds of different types of things that you can invest in. And then there's the question, should I be a more passive investor, maybe investing in a syndication or crowdfunding or REITs, or should I focus more on an active strategy where I'm buying and managing, actively managing my own properties? You should be very clear early on what you're investing in and why. And it always goes back to your why. I mean, this is really key. And why are you investing in the first place? What is the true reason for getting involved in real estate investing? Is it strictly financial or is it something more? You know, maybe it's something as simple as you're just bored in your retirement and you're looking for something fun to do, maybe a new hobby here and something that makes a little money on the side. Or maybe you're trying to fill an income gap. For example, you know, your retirement funds don't really meet the what you would like it to meet to be able to have the retirement that you've always wanted. So maybe you need $500 a month more, or $2,000, or maybe $5,000 monthly to achieve the kind of retirement you want. Maybe you just want to free yourself up. Maybe you're not an old dog, or maybe you're a little ways from it, and you just want to get out of the 9-to-5 and retire early, travel, and enjoy life while you still have the energy and ability to really enjoy it. Maybe you're raising money for a specific one-time purchase, maybe a vacation home, or maybe take that six-month world tour you've always dreamed of with your spouse, or maybe you want to help out some of your kids or grandkids with college, a wedding, or first home. Maybe you want to build that legacy to hand down to your family. Or perhaps it's something deeper, like, you know, maybe you're looking for more meaning in your life, a greater purpose, and you want to invest your time and resources in things that will help you make a difference in the world or in people's lives or to serve God. So whatever your reasons, and there are a lot of them, I'm sure as many as we have listeners out there, and whatever your reasons, be clear and write down your goals before you start spending your precious time and money. This is really important. There are a multitude of reasons you may be interested in investing, but you first must identify that why, you know, and I talk about this I'm going to share or repeat what I said in a previous episode, but in episode 122 called The Importance of Knowing Your Why, I talk about, you know, trying to examine what that is. And I also share my why with everybody as well. So that might be a helpful episode for you. And there'll be a link in today's show notes on our website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Once you're clear as to what you're looking for and why, you look at your end goal and then work backwards to develop your strategic plan. Also ask yourself, you know, questions like, how much do I need by when, you know, just to try and clarify, you know, your efforts as you start narrowing things down. Clayton Morris, who was a guest on our show, talks about his or your freedom number and the amount you need to become financially independent. And then you kind of look at that number. This is, you know, after you go through all your expenses and everything and project ahead as well, taking into account things like medical expenses and what have you. Look at what is that number, that monthly income number, and how many doors or houses or, you know, properties will you need to acquire in order to generate that kind of cash flow? Whatever your freedom number is, and this is, I might add this on to Clayton's idea here, is that I would double that, because there are things that just happen in real estate that you can never really anticipate. This is what I call the old dog principle. Plan for what you never even expect to happen. Whatever your goal is, just make sure you've got that extra funding in there to cover things like economic, you know, shifts and the, you know, things that change in the economy, vacancies, major capital repairs, other costs and things that you just didn't know that you would have. Whatever your goal is, look at the best way to get there and when you want it to happen. For example, if your strategy is buying single family homes and you need $2,000 a month in additional monthly income, assuming, for example, that you're looking at all your numbers and the mortgages and expenses, that you could generate $200 per month per door on an average, you'd need 10 houses to make your goal. Okay, so you're going, here it is, I need 10 houses to get to that $2,000 a month number. So you kind of look then, okay, now how would I do that? And so maybe you look at, well, I'll get a house a year for 10 years. I'll buy one house each year for 10 years, or two a year for 5 years. Or in a combination, 3 1 year followed by 2 in the next year. Or maybe you just decide, look, I'm just going to go put all my effort into finding a good multifamily. I'm going to get a 10-unit apartment building, and boom, I'm there. So there are a lot of different ways to get it, and you have to examine your strategies. Whatever you do, you need to have a good understanding of, number one, your resources, and be able to answer such questions as, how will I get the money to do what I want to do? And in what period of time? So maybe you have money from your paycheck that you can set aside each month, and that will add up to a down payment on a house, for example. Or maybe you have a lot of equity in your house and you're figuring, well, I will set up a HELOC, equity line of credit, against my house, and I'll use that to purchase. So there's a lot of different options, and so you gotta have to really feel comfortable with it. Maybe you've got just that nest egg set aside, and it's in the stock market, and it's just not generating what you think it would, and that might be used. So know what your resources are. That's really, really important. And then you also need to know your amount of time that you have to accomplish your goal. I mean, are you only available Saturdays? Can you fit in early mornings or late nights? We had a guest on recently, David Sweeney, the police lieutenant from Seattle. Great podcast, by the way, and there'll be a link to that here too. But he's a late night guy, and so he, you know, by the time everyone went to sleep or whatever, he would be on his computer searching for properties, and he ended up getting a nice little multifamily in the Washington area. So you need to factor in those things. What is it going to take to find a property? Okay, again, you're breaking things down into their smallest components. So if you're looking at, let's say, acquiring a property a year, for example, how many offers do you have to make to really get that property that's going to be of the criteria that you're looking for? You know, can you do it in 10 offers, maybe? Yeah, maybe it'll take 100 offers. It just depends on what you're looking for, where, and what your criteria is. But whatever criteria you set, and that's going to be the criteria that's going to allow you to make the cash flow that you want to accumulate and to be able to have on a monthly basis, then don't compromise. Don't say, well, you know, I was figuring 200 a month, but maybe I can get this one. It's not as good a deal, but, you know, maybe it's 75 a month and I can grow it. Well, you know, when you start compromising, you really start cutting back on the ability to make that goal. So you've got to think about those things. And you also need to set up accountability factors to ensure you can stick to your plan. Now, what I mean by that is basically, you know, you have your plan, you put it together, you got monthly goals, quarterly, annual and so forth, is that you sit down with somebody. It could be your mentor. And I do recommend highly to get a mentor. And there is a show, one of the previous shows as well, where I talk about, you know, how to invest in real estate and what kinds of things you have to do, the primary things you have to do in order to get launched and started in it. And there'll be a link in here also on that. But, you know, getting a mentor is key. And that could be that your accountability person, or maybe you have a group of folks or friends that would be willing to sit down with you as you go over your goals and share with them how you're doing. And so that you have somebody that kind of holds you accountable to at least try to make your goals. Doesn't mean you're going to make them every time, but you can at least be able to review it. Now that you know pretty much what your why and your what are, time to look at the other W, and that is your where. I always say buy close to home if you can and if it makes financial sense. However, if the numbers don't work and the market is not favorable, I would look elsewhere. However, personally, I consciously have chosen to not buy near my house, and not that I could even find the same numbers anywhere near what I can buying out of state. But I kind of do it for a number of reasons. One, I don't want a full-time job. That's not my intention here. I want to be a passive investor. So I want to be as far from the property as makes sense. Keep in mind, this is not for everyone, but this is just my own personal thing. And if I buy too close to home, I know myself well enough that if that property is nearby, I'm going to be over there all the time. I'm going to be fixing things, upgrading, surveying the neighborhood, doing a lot of the work myself to save money and so forth. I'm just going to get sucked in, and then all of a sudden I'm going to have all this time over there, and I'm not going to have the available time that I have now with my family and things of that nature. So that I don't want the full-time job. And the other reason is I like emerging markets, and I like to be able to buy something that's going to appreciate. I don't buy for appreciation, but if I'm going to buy for cash flow, I'm going to buy it in a market that's appreciating, because it just makes so much more sense as an investor to be able to do that, because it gives you leverage. Whether you use that equity or not, somewhere down the line, that equity is going to come back, and it may come back to a generation after yours or maybe a generation after that. But the equity factor is an important one. Don't need to be an experienced investor with deep pockets to make money in real estate. You really don't. I mean, you do get educated and you need to understand. But at the same time, you know, most of the successful investors out there, you know, started small and simple. And that's what you do. And you learn from those first investments, and then you start getting a little bit more savvy, and you can start to, maybe increase the types of investments you're doing or the amount that you're getting involved in. If you're interested in buying an investment property, it's important to know what your options are, and they are endless here. Here's four questions you should ask yourself to identify, to be able to choose that property. Number one, what makes this location ideal for rental marketability? People rent for different reasons. Some are university grads looking to establish themselves in a city prior to becoming homeowners, or like my son Elijah, who's now, he's looking to move to Idaho to go to college, and we're looking for a fourplex. He wants to buy a fourplex, live in one of the units. He's going to be a house hacker here, and let the other three tenants or the other three units pay his rent, so he has free rent while he's at school, plus he'll generate some additional income at the same time. And so that can make a lot of sense, especially if you can get an FHA loan, you got low interest, you can go in with a lower down payment if that's what you're looking for. So there are some real advantages if you start to look at that. Over time, you can start to build that. He wants to move every year. I don't know if that's going to be feasible, but you know, to be able to stay there for the required time for the FHA loan and then move to another fourplex and do the same and repeat until he starts building up his own little real estate portfolio. Some investors may simply be looking for an affordable, maybe an Airbnb type rental. It could be a room in your house that you rent out. Airbnb is killing it right now, and it's a great place to be. We converted one of our apartments at our 22 unit in Indianapolis, and we're now generating more than double what the rents are for on a monthly basis with the Airbnb unit. So it can be a real valuable thing. Some people aren't even buying the houses that they're renting out. They actually will go and find somebody who will lease them or rent them a house, and then they have them sign an agreement with the owner to be able to rent it out as an Airbnb. And, and I don't know if everybody's going to agree with it, but a lot of people are doing this and they're making a killing just subletting existing places. So you don't even have to buy a place to do that. In either case, you want to make sure whatever you invest in, that there's a strong demand, a strong rental demand in whatever area that may be. Another question, what are the rental properties like in that surrounding area? Knowing your competition is one of the most important considerations when choosing an investment property. How much are comparable properties renting for? Is the vacancy rate high or low? What condition are the other accommodations? And how will your property compare? Much like home buyers, potential tenants are doing plenty of research online before making a decision, and they have a better perception of value than ever before. Get a good idea of what potential renters are expecting. Another question, is the home in good condition or will it require rehab? This is important because, if you're going to put into that, you need to be realistic and you need to get good quotes from dependable contractors that can give you a good idea, because that will affect your cash on cash return, obviously. Is the neighborhood headed in the right direction? Most real estate investors have a long-term plan in mind, but you never know, when your plans might change. It's always wise to choose an investment property in a neighborhood that is likely to appreciate. And I'd mentioned that earlier, that, you buy in a place where hopefully there is an increasing, not only rents going up, but the values of the homes are going up as well. And know your numbers. If you're really serious about investing, you got to get the basics down. And it doesn't take a calculus to be able to figure out what you need to do on an investment property. It's just the basic math. All you need to do is be able to divide, multiply. And I think that's it, is just know your numbers. There's an episode, actually a three-part podcast series we did called Analyzing Rental Properties. And there'll be a link also in the show notes on that too. So know your key ratios and metrics before you buy, and position your investment for short and long-term success. This is just fundamental to real estate investing. And finally, have a good exit strategy. I mean, that's really key. How long do you want to hold on to your properties? 3, 5, 20 years, indefinitely? What do you hope to see when you sell? Your projected returns. Do you plan to leverage your property, purchase other properties, or just to cash out once equity reaches a certain level? Personally, I like to make money when I buy, not when I sell. So that way I can cover myself, later down the road. I'm not so concerned about the equity part of it because it's instantly there. If you do not have multiple exit strategies when you purchase that property, you could get yourself into a bit of a pickle. Time is money. And if you're holding on to, for example, an asset and you're cash strapped because all of your capital is tied up in that one asset, you might not hypothetically be losing money right then and there, but you are losing opportunity cost. You don't want to be sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. Do you have a plan if your long-term hold goes south because of economic or other factors that are out of your control? What if the rental market dries up and home sales are horrible? What are you willing to do? Some of your options on the short end is you might consider refinancing. You might want to look at what you can do to get better terms on your mortgage so that pressure is not so strong. If you can do that and you can hold on to it, maybe lower your rents, then that could be part of that exit strategy. You could wholesale it to other investors. Now, you may take a loss here, but at least you'll be getting some cash up front that you can use, and it'll allow you to make other investments where you'll recoup those funds rather quickly. Or maybe you have a property you can't sell it, and even it's hard to rent, but it would be ideal for a lease option or a rent-to-own situation where current tenants or potential tenants could rent this with the option to buy, so you can get that cash flow going. Well, these are just a few of the key factors you need to carefully consider when choosing a rental property. Before choosing a property, make sure you have done your homework and clearly understand your goals before you buy. Taking the time to buy smart and right will reap benefits for years to come. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here, including links, and I did have a number of them in this episode, are accessible in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And just look for the episode on choosing the right investment property. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.